Andrew Holden is our media commentator. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Now, what has happened? AUT just started doing an interesting survey on trust in the media in New Zealand. I think its second one is out. What's it telling us?
It is. So this is their Research Centre for Journalism, Media and Democracy, and they go to Horizon Research, who do 1,200 people as part of their survey. And as you say, it's the second year that they've done it, and it's trust in news in New Zealand. So what they've discovered is that in the past 12 months, it's dropped from 53% overall trust in media down to 48%. Seems significant. It's only the second one, so I'm a little bit cautious in reading too much into it. You'd kind of want to see at least a couple of more years in it to get a sense of whether this is an ongoing fall or not. Interestingly, when people are asked to rate the media outlets that they listen to, you can see a fairly a good chunk or a reasonable score, although they have all dropped. So out of a score of 10, top is Radio New Zealand, you'll be pleased to hear, was 7 out of 10 is now 6.8, so again, pretty marginal difference. TVNZ was 6.8, is now 6.6. TV3 comes in a little bit higher. You go down to the big newspaper companies, if you like. New Zealand Herald was 6.3, dropped by 0.1, and Stuff was 6.1 down to 6. So they're pretty good results. I mean, you kind of wonder whether there's a little bit of confirmation bias going in there, that if I'm making the effort to get my news from these organisations, then of course I trust them, because why would I go and listen to somebody I don't trust? But certainly, a really interesting and a valuable survey. And when you look at it, and they do a chart in it across different countries, you see the likes of Finland, 56% of that population trust their media. Remembering New Zealand, 48. So we're not hugely away from them. But you then look down to Australia, 38, the US, 29, and the UK, 28. So New Zealand's arguably sitting in a pretty reasonable area.
Did they give some reasons for why trust had declined?
Yeah, they did. And the headline statement by their co-director was that news media is seen as increasingly opinionated, biased and politicised. You could argue that's always been the case, which kind of makes me think that one of the potential elements to this could be the nature of news media and the current New Zealand government in the election last year, right? So that we've seen the first ever New Zealand government get a majority under MMP, which means you've got a significant, over half the population are approving of that government. But the nature of journalism, of course, is to challenge and attack and question. So what might be coming through here is people have made up a decision that they're going to vote for Labor. They like the government, great COVID response, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm watching TV3 or I'm reading newspapers critical of the government and what they're doing. And that might be where they're feeling an emotional breakdown. And trust, if you like, is that the journalists aren't agreeing with their perception of the government. So I think those kind of elements come into these surveys. Again, you'd want to see another 1 or 2 years to get a sense of whether this is an ongoing downward trend.
It's interesting too. Often when you've done audience research, more detailed audience research, you will find people falling into tribes like they do anywhere
Absolutely.
Else. Some people like the opinionated, editorialised, this is my tribe kind of approach, and others will go, I don't want to hear anything except the facts. Don't care about your opinion, just give me the facts. So it's interesting, different media will take different tacks on this. They might take different tacks and part of their offering on this. But it is interesting that it is linked to trust. And
very much so. Absolutely. And one of the other elements that they highlight, reasons for mistrust, is media pushing certain social other agenda, including climate change. So if you don't believe in climate change, any media outlet that tells you that it's true and this is what's happening, you're not going to trust its journalism and arguably put that across. And you may even see, for example, in Stuff and their remarkable series last year about Māori and their apology to Māori, if you don't think that's legitimate, then you're not going to trust their journalism.
So there is definitely a transition happening in, a massive transition has happened in the so-called mainstream media in who decides, who publishes or broadcasts and what that is. It has definitely become much more diverse in quite a short period of time, actually. And it is possible that for some people that is, not welcome, or they feel like they are being, lectured to, So and all of that is legitimate. It is simply a diverse range of people that you're trying to serve.
Yeah. Absolutely, and quite frankly, it's the necessary tension between what a journalist does in challenging and seeking out information, and what an individual might be looking at, and how they absorb that information. I mean, I think the really valuable and important thing in the survey is that just 12% of New Zealanders trust social media for their news and information. So, you know, or news and information on the pandemic. So what that says to me is that, as we know from the lift in readership and audiences last year, is that when people in the midst of a crisis want reputable information, they are still going to the mainstream media outlets to get that and believe in that.
Interesting stuff. Now, we were waiting this. We talked a few weeks back about whether Discovery would begin to rebrand its new New Zealand assets, New Zealand and Australia assets. Obviously, we are now beginning to see the company beginning to shape its holdings here. And is it sort of nervous times, really?
Well, it will be a little bit of nervous times. So the staff have been advised last week that they're looking at how they merge. In a sense, they have three businesses between Australia and New Zealand. So they're going to start pulling those together.
TV3 here.
TV3 here. There's also the top TV businesses, which they acquired in 2019. That's Choice TV. And they've also got pre-existing businesses. So they're going to start crunching them together. The likelihood is there's going to be a lot of back office roles, your accountants, your others who are duplicating, you don't need across one business. What will be really interesting to see as an indicator of where they intend to go is whether the newsrooms will also be affected.
I think there is a nervousness around whether journalists' positions might be part of any
always.
Review, you know?
Yeah,
always. Is it a case now? I think they've been meetings held recently. It's that case of, what do we call it? Consultation.
Catherine, we know those. Haven't we been through those before? The document, and then you get the feedback, and then you might tweak it a little bit, but ultimately the main intent is...
Well, you see, this matters because, again, we talked about how catastrophic things were looking across the mainstream media again, the big media. Well, actually... And many of the smaller outlets as well, the newer outlets who are running subscription models, newsrooms, etc. We were talking about how catastrophic that was looking a year ago, and then we had Stuff with its bold move, which it's been able to sustain. We had the magazines come back, the Bauer magazines got distributed out, and they're back on the shelves. And we had Discovery step in with TV3. So what happens from here really matters, particularly with that big second television channel.
Oh, absolutely. And I wouldn't be surprised that Discovery will look at that back office roles and get a little bit of consistency going across the two of them. But why would they make any move around their news organisation here until they see what the government's going to do with TVNZ and RNZ? And if indeed the model is no advertising on a merged entity, then you'd want to keep a strong newsroom because that's your opportunity to capitalise.
Finally, the NBR rich list is something else. It's I love the way they put that 2020 people's minds were probably elsewhere and perhaps it had had its day.
Yeah, you know? And look, real credit to Maria Slade and the others in the team there who've completely rethought this. The rich list has been around since May 1990, but they're not doing it just on money now. They're saying, no, we're going to rank 100 Kiwis, but we want to see what they're doing with the money. So they've broken it down into a series of categories, whether they're building, market, make and sell, investment, agribusiness and so on. And yes, the names are still there. Graham Hart's still at the top with $11 billion and the Todd family and the Goodmans are still there. But what the journalists are doing is saying, just because you've got property that makes you wealthy, that's only one part of it. But what we want to know is what you're doing with that money. So how are you spending the money? How are you investing it? And they're the people that we're going to focus on and put on the 100 list, not just somebody who happens to be sitting on a wealth of assets.
And does that mean how you're investing in business specifically?
Correct. But it may also be social enterprises or anything else. So they're trying to tease out the sense of just being rich ain't enough. What do you do with your money? And so hence they've tweaked the list to try and tease out exactly what's being done with
it. Is there a whole new arm of PR individuals shaping what?
Well,
mind
that's
you,
right.
You used to want to. People used to say they used to try and stay off the rich list and hide their assets.
And then others were desperate to get onto it, so they'd pump up their assets. So you're right. It'll be really interesting to see what kind of a change in mindset this does. Will we start to see some of these wealthy people, particularly the families, who'll start to highlight what they're doing with the money because they'd like to be, you know, written about more or get a higher ranking or a greater presence on the new NBR list. Not not the rich list anymore. I mean, the only sad thing, to be honest, with the publishing model there is it's all online now. You've got to subscribe. I used to love to be able to go into the newsagent and get that physical copy of the rich list. It was one of those things that was certainly a big money spinner for them, because a lot of people would indeed go and buy it so they could have it on the coffee table with the page that they were on marked. So fascinating stuff. But a really interesting change of perspective.
Yeah, and one wonders, inevitable really, with the mood people are in after last year.
Absolutely, and you could argue it's starting to, is it tying into the likes of the Ardern government's wellbeing budget? You know, what is the measure of success opposed to pure dollars?
Not wanting to be hated. 1990 was an interesting old time, that's for sure, when it first began. A lot has happened since.
Yeah,
thanks very much, Andrew Holden.